gotta talk about my life as I see it.
Biggie.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell.
I'm not worried about work. I'm worried about robots.
On 920 The Game.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Let's go Las Vegas. We are 48 hours away from Super Bowl 53. LA Rams taking on the New England Patriots. You're listening to the Mac Attack. We got a stacked show for you today. I know it's only an hour, and we usually only do one guest per show if we do a guest at all. But given that we are on the verge of this Super Bowl, I thought I'd bring on a couple special guests for this show. Coming up in 20 minutes, we're going to be joined by 1990 national champion and a voice of Las Vegas for many years now over in Colorado. The one and only Mike Pritchard is going to be joining the show. And a 240, Vic Tafer from The Athletic in the Bay Area is going to come on. Talk a little prop bets. He had a little article on The Athletic. Talk to him about that. Of course, he is the man in that town for your Las Vegas Raiders. So he's going to give us a rundown on what to expect heading into the next season and also his thoughts on the Super Bowl. But for right now, is myself and Mark Seidel getting you ready for the rest of the show. How you do, Mark?
What it do?
What it do? What it is?
What it be? What it was?
How you feeling?
I'm good, man.
Good, man. Good, good to hear. Good
ready,
to hear.
Ready for the weekend.
Yeah, well, I can imagine. Aren't we all?
Yes.
You know, it feels, this is funny, it actually feels good to have a weekend, man. And I'm talking about me. I've been a caged animal for about 11 years.
Uh-huh.
Satellite radio, yeah. Yahoo Sports, you know, all these. But now I actually have a place to come every single day, guaranteed, my show, Mac Attack.
Yeah.
This is the second week. Like, it feels good to have a weekend
and
for.
And you're now looking forward to
the
weekend.
Well, yes. It's not like other jobs I've had, like, you know, in college and growing up, like, where you really look forward to the weekend. Like, where you're exhausted. Like, I love my job. Like, I love doing what we're doing. But, yeah, no, it's cool to know that you have 2 days kind of off and as a reward for a work week. I know there's a million people out there like, shut up, kid. But it's true. And I'll tell you what, it's not like I didn't work or anything like that. It was just like sometimes your weekend would come one day and it would be on a Tuesday.
Yep.
And you didn't know it was going to come. So, bore listeners enough with what I'm talking about. But, hey, listen, it's been a little while. We've only been on here 2 weeks. But it feels like that's the entirety of the time the Knights have been off. We started last week. We did a lot of Knights stuff, but they get back on the ice tonight. They are in Carolina, state you know pretty well.
Yeah, the Hurricanes, man.
That's right. Are they your team?
No, I never really had a hockey team. I remember we had a party when the Hurricanes won the Stanley Cup.
Right.
You know, I was back in high school. You know, we sat around and watched it.
So
you
were like LA fans.
And it was,
for all sports.
Yeah. But, you know, it was exciting. I'd never been a hockey fan until the Golden Knights.
Okay. So it didn't take with the Carolina Stanley Cup.
No, I have no allegiance to the Hurricanes. I know over on ESPN, Chrissy Paradis.
Well, yes, she likes.
You know, she is.
She claims to have been thrown out of a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, she like for throwing down. Thrown out for throwing down. She's a
firecracker.
She's a little ruffian.
So yes, Chrissy, where are you at? Let's get your thoughts on this game tonight. Let's get some venom in here. But no, you're, as we said, the season. It feels like I think Vegas is the last team to get back on the Schneid or get back into their winning ways or try to with this late Friday night start. It's hockey's been going on since like Wednesday, but Vegas actually getting back on the ice. A couple notes for this return that I think are rather important. It looks like Riley Smith is going to be back tonight. He's going to be joining the number one line.
That's huge.
Massive.
Huge for the Golden Knights, man. So slowly but surely, the injuries are starting to dwindle.
Getting Voltron back.
Yeah, you know, getting some of those pieces back. It's huge for this team. This team is, you know, a lot of people thought if they could just tread water and stay around 500 while all this happened, it'd be good. They've done better than that. The front half of their season was loaded with more away games, so they're going to have more games.
League high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're going to have a lot more games back here in the second half. I do that in air quotes. We're past the halfway point, but Yeah, so this Golden Knights team is in a good position. They're getting people back, and I really think people in Vegas should start to get excited
again.
as to what this team can do and where they're headed.
Yeah, it is really exciting, and Riley Smith will be joining the one line. What that means for Brandon Peary and where he's going to be fit in, we'll see. We'll see what the lines end up being tonight. Another note: Marc-Andre Fleury not in net tonight. Malcolm Subban still injured. They brought up a goalie from last year. Maybe you remember him, Max Legacy. He's going to be joining the Knights, and he is going to be in net tonight, which I think is a little surprising.
It is.
In the sense that you're coming off the All-Star break.
And since you're coming off the All-Star break and the bye week for the team. You know, so this was, you know, they haven't played a game in 10 days. Am I off?
That feels about right.
9 or 10 days.
Yeah, very long time.
You would think that would be,
right.
You know, maybe they're just, you know, they could. Are they playing back-to-back?
They play Florida on Saturday and tomorrow.
So you can pretty much assure that Marc-Andre Fleury will be in net.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yep. And last little bit of note in terms of the NHL before we get to the opening round. This is going to be interesting. This could affect the Knights. And I say could because there are a lot of other teams that are going to want to be in on this. Veteran defender and assistant captain and one of the best defenders of the last 20, 25 years in the NHL, Duncan Keith of the Chicago Blackhawks. 3 Stanley Cups, Norris Trophy winner, and I believe a Conn Smythe Trophy winner as well, but I know he's got a Norris for the best defenseman in a particular season. He might be up on the trading block. The Blackhawks are terrible.
Uh-huh.
They want to do him a solid and ask him if he wants to move. Now, he's got a full no-trade clause. He does not get moved anywhere he doesn't want to go. Exactly. He's got 5 years left on his deal at about $5 million a year.
Which is not bad.
It's not bad, but he's 35 years old.
Yeah, I get
it. He's been playing number one blue line minutes for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Uh-huh.
If Vegas were to go out and make a move to get him, number one, it's probably going to take a little bit to get him. You're probably going to have to give up someone a little younger. I don't know. I want to speculate as far as that.
Yeah.
The key is, if we get him, Mark, what could be interesting, or if Vegas gets him, you don't have to play him on the one line. The one line here is already pretty supplanted.
Yeah.
You know?
If you could pick up a piece like that and add him, you know, to your second line or
exactly. Or
that's huge.
And if from a veteran standpoint.
It's like picking up a... You know, I'm going to use a baseball terminology here, like a Justin Verlander, you know, and plugging him in as your number two or number three starter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when you bring someone in and you're not necessarily counting on that person to come in and be an absolute superstar.
But they can
come in and be the locker room presence that maybe some of the younger guys need. And you know, he's a consummate team player. You don't hear bad things about Duncan Keith.
Not really. I mean, he had a suspension. You will from LA fans because he had a suspension. Yeah. But you're absolutely right. He is a gentleman. He plays the right way. He doesn't really have a lot of penalty minutes. And he is well-respected throughout the league for the most part. I get it. He's 35 years old. But it's the point that you said. You look across the locker room. Let's say it's a Stanley Cup. Let's say it's that Alex Tuck, Brandon Holtby save in game two.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, I was there for every game. I went to every game last year, pretty much. And definitely all the games of the playoffs. That changed the entire series. I said it when it happened.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that better not. I hope they don't stick on that. And I'm not saying they did. Yeah. But I'm saying is this. Imagine going to the locker room in that second period and looking across the way and seeing Duncan Keith calm with 3 Stanley Cups.
Exactly. And him saying, chill out, everybody.
Right.
You know, boom, we got this. And having that calming influence and, again, not having to rest your laurels on him being the guy of him, you know, trying to come in and save a season per se or something like that. You know, you're not making the trade to bring him in to come in and save a season. I just said it, but you know, to come in, he would be just coming in. And I know we're totally speculating. I don't want people tuning in thinking we're saying, oh, the Golden Knights are all in on Duncan Keith. But
right.
You know, if you brought a player in like that, under these circumstances, I think would be the best kind of circumstances to bring a player like that in.
Yeah, and a key here might be Duncan might not want to leave Chicago.
Of course.
He is a true Chicago Blackhawk, brought up from the system, drafted by them, and I'm telling you, Brent Seabrook and him, there are two guys that you really look to as a part of that old guard. Guys that were taking the ice when there were $7 tickets before Kane and Tate showed up, those were two of them. So I would understand if he just wanted to retire or just ride his days out playing for a terrible Chicago team, if that's where they're headed. But
You know, you got to think most guys who are that age, you know, if they have an opportunity to go to a team who is contending and, you know, one last hoorah and you know, and try to get yourself one more cup.
It's gonna be interesting to see how that plays out. So Duncan Keith might be on the market. He might be. It's all up to him if he wants to move. But if he is, there are gonna be suitors, and I would imagine on some level, Vegas would be interested. How much? Time will tell. It's time for the opening round.
It's time for the opening round, brought to you by VIP Collision.
All right, got Mike Pritchard coming up in about 10 minutes. Former Colorado, all-world player, running back, did all sorts of things at Colorado, the 1990 national championship team, and an NFL veteran. He is in Atlanta. He's going to check in from the Super Bowl. And then in about 30 minutes, we're going to be joined by Vic Tafer of The Athletic out in the Bay Area to talk a little prop bets and get you ready for the Super Bowl. But for right now, we're going to stay on the Super Bowl theme here, Mark Seidel, for the opening round. And this is something that I didn't know if we should get to yesterday. We didn't have time, so I'm glad we're getting it to today, because we're sending these listeners off into a very Super Bowl-heavy show. And this is something that a Twitter post made me think about, and I'm glad it did, because now that I've thought about it, I'm kind of disturbed. One of my favorite things about the Super Bowl, Mark, I don't know what your favorite thing. I mean, there's the food, there's the game itself, there's the halftime show if you're into that.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, we've talked about that this week.
Yeah.
You and I will not be watching the halftime show.
No, we will not be.
Sorry, Big Boy. I'm lying. Why aren't we going to tune in for Big Boy?
Maybe I'll watch Big Boy.
Okay. I feel like we're lying to ourselves.
Maybe I'll get on Twitter and wait until I start seeing people be like, oh, big
right.
boy.
There you go.
And then I'll switch over.
One half of Outkast is going to be on the Super Bowl halftime.
And that makes it worth it.
It kind of does for guys like you and I. But the other thing that I think I've always enjoyed ever since I was a kid, Spud McKenzie and going back into the Bud Bowl, were the commercials.
Yeah.
But someone made a post about, I was old enough to remember when commercials actually you had to wait. And I was like, oh my God, you're right. I've seen half the commercials that are going to air on Sunday. And it makes me sad, man.
I haven't seen a single one.
Well, it's
and I'm usually a guy who will spoil things for me.
See, and I'm not.
It's weird. Like Game of Thrones, like last season, somebody put out a bunch of plots.
They put out the script.
Yeah.
You read that?
I did.
You
unfortunately.
Sick?
Well, I know. And I didn't, I kind of stumbled into it.
Of all the things to spoil.
I know.
Game of Thrones.
I know. But this year, obviously, they're doing a lot of things to not do it. And
right.
I told myself I wouldn't necessarily do it. Actually, it wasn't last year. It was the year before.
When the spoilers came out?
Well, yeah, it was season 6 when all the spoilers. I mean, there were a couple
last year.
It
was like the whole script. It was like the whole everything.
Yeah.
It was a part of that leak, right? The China hack?
Yep.
The whole Sony and the whole HBO.
That's
right.
And that's what they did.
Yep.
So.
And then you played right into those dirty little hackers.
I did.
What they wanted.
But So I've been known to, you know, dabble in spoilers, but I haven't seen a single commercial yet. I know I won't click on them if I see them, you know, on Twitter or anything like that.
Yeah,
so far, so good.
I kind of got a couple glimpses of what would be coming, and it just really upset me. But then it got me to thinking, it's like, how much the NFL and how much, who the hell is hosting the Super Bowl? CBS? ABC?
CBS.
Okay, sure.
That's a complete guess.
One of those networks. I should have just said the networks. You know, the networks can't like this because there are kids tuning in for that. There are, you know, all sorts of sex, age, doesn't matter.
Yep.
People really enjoy the commercials. And if you're showing them the present before Christmas Day, right, where's the excitement? I just wonder what that might do to ratings.
I don't see leaking commercials hurting ratings because people aren't going to change the. I mean, there are people out there who
Knights fans, Knights fans definitely
who
will,
probably watch the game for the commercials. You know, people's mothers or something like that. You know, they stick around just to watch the commercials. But I don't see that hurting necessarily the ratings of the game.
What about hurting the ad dollars that people pay to advertise on a Sunday? If the commercial, the whole point is you pay $2 million to kick someone in the teeth to surprise them and be like, bah, uh-huh. BMW, Mountain Dew, whatever you're doing, if they've seen it, conceivably some of that luster will have been worn off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you think it'll bring it down?
If it's a good commercial, it's still a good commercial.
That's true.
And you'll still enjoy watching it.
That's true.
So, no, I'm I'm on board with, you know, if you want to watch the commercials, watch them. And if they're if it's a good enough commercial, you're going to see it when it comes up, and you're still going to laugh at it.
All right. Well, you said we're still going to watch the game. That's true. We are going to watch the game. It is on Sunday. But another post, and this was from a Reddit post, and this got me thinking as well. And it's something I've thought about my whole life, but I guess recently I never circled back around on it. I never thought about bringing it to the radio because it's so simple, and I feel like it's something everyone wants, but I feel like we've all been beaten down, and it's just never going to happen. And that is moving the Super Bowl to Saturday.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Is it just the fact that the NFL is so stuck in of NFL Sunday?
Like, I hope.
People are so trained to expect, you know, Sunday is for football. I feel like it makes a ton more sense. And
you're going to get more viewers.
I was going to say,
money,
I feel
food.
Like you would get better ratings.
Right.
On a Saturday, especially, you know, towards the end of the game, if you know, we've had very few, but if a game goes into overtime and things like that, there's plenty of people that probably tune out and just say, I'll catch the score in the morning.
Yeah, we'll see it in the morning.
Yeah,
and they're certainly not drinking any as much as you would want.
It's like the college football playoffs.
Right.
When they had them on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day,
yeah.
And that was on, you know, it was a Sunday or something like that. It was a Sunday night, and that hurt the ratings
of the
college football, the two semifinals.
No, I think
games.
You were right, though. It was New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you were right the first time.
And everybody, yep. You know, everybody was stepping out to go do their New Year's Eve thing, yep. And it definitely hurt the ratings for the semifinals.
Yeah, for the life of me, I can't figure out why we do this. It's just, it's like habit. It's like you said, maybe 95, 94, okay. The NFL isn't what it is.
Yeah.
What we know today, for if you're not old enough, like the NFL wasn't this behemoth. It was popular.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But it wasn't this cultural phenomenon that just shut down the country every Sunday. So I get that. But now here we sit. I feel like the NFL is enough of a behemoth, and the Super Bowls are certainly enough of a brand.
Yeah.
Maybe is it getting as maybe I'm not thinking, we're not thinking it's just ratings and just fans. Maybe it's the live experience. Maybe they want that extra day at the host city to boost up another 40 million, whatever.
Oh,
it is.
I'm sure it brings in,
yeah,
for the city.
That's kind of what I'm
way
thinking.
Way more money.
That's kind of what I'm
so
wondering.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, well, that's gonna do it for the opening round. Thanks to our friends out at VIP Collision. You can catch them out of 323 SunPac Court off the 215 in Henderson. And if you go to VIP Collision, if you visit my friend Steve and the great folks over there, if you tell them Big Mac sent you, you will get 10% off any order. That's VIP Collision out there off the 215 in Henderson. Go say hi to him. What's up?
10%, that's not a small number.
No.
When you're talking about getting your car repaired, like
thousands,
you know,
of dollars.
I went 15 years without getting in a car accident, and I had two within, you know, about 3 weeks.
Well, that last one was a story. We can say that for another time.
but it, like, yeah, you know, that was, you know, $2,500, $3,000. You know, that's saving you a couple hundred bucks.
Absolutely. And if you're getting dings done, or let's say you're getting body modifications done, rims, highlights, whatever you might be doing with your car, 10% is a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah.
So tell them Big Mac sent you. Mention ESPN. Mention 920 The Game. Mention Lotus. You will get 10% off. Those are our friends over at VIP Collision. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Mike Pritchard.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right, joining the show right now, you can hear him out in Denver, Colorado on 104.3 The Fan. You also heard him on these airwaves for a few years, and he is the pride of Rancho High, the one and only Mike Pritchard. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great. The Mac Attack, huh?
Yeah, buddy. Appreciate
wow.
you having on. It's awesome.
Okay. Yeah, that is awesome. I like the intro. I love the name.
I appreciate it. We'll see if, you know, in the coming years, maybe I'll be down there with you on Radio Row down there at the Super Bowl.
Hey, I don't know if you can keep up with me.
I'd
welcome that. That'd be awesome, man.
Yesterday, I got some good news for you. Yesterday, Mike, I said Heisman Trophy winner Mike Pritchard was coming on. Obviously, I meant national champion winner of the night. But, hey, to some people, you might have won the Heisman Trophy, so you get dual billing here on the Mac Attack, buddy.
That's close enough. You know, you know what's funny, Mac, is we were having some discussions about that year, and then when I finished, where I finished, you know, if I was a Heisman candidate, obviously I finished in the top 50. I didn't finish as a finalist, but definitely was on the radar. So you almost got it right.
There you go. So joined by Mike Pritchard right now. He is down, if I didn't mention it, he is down in Atlanta at Super Bowl 53 doing his thing. Before we get into the game itself and the narratives around that, let's start off with the important thing. I just saw a tweet from Ed Graney, and he said that they just brought Chick-fil-A in for the media. Were you there for that? And if you were, how wonderful was that?
I actually saw them wheeling it in. We had finished our show, and we had to get out because I had to get my suitcases and stuff. So I actually saw them wheeling it in as I was walking out. I was like, okay, who's that for? What did they bring all that Chick-fil-A for? So obviously, Ed, on top of the story, tweeted out that it's for the media. So, of course, it's for the media. I should have known that. I mean, my God, the media just nonstop eating.
That's true. That's all we care about.
I never seen people eat so much. But if you're impressed by eaters, I mean, certainly the media has you covered.
Well, as a 12-year media member and working for various outlets, I can say unequivocally, Mike, that the only thing the vast majority of media members care about is the spread.
Okay. Well, they're well fed. I mean, the Super Bowl, they do it right. I'm standing outside. I'm looking at the Mercedes-Benz Dome, and I'm right next to State Farm Arena, and they just had a flyover with the Thunderbirds. How cool is that?
Very cool. Las Vegas
being represented, Ellis Air Force Base representing out here in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. It was perfect, man.
Got the Jets and got Mike Pritchard out there, Rancho's finest. Vegas represented. There you go. Mike, again, before we get to the game, Mark and I were just talking about something, and it's something that I've thought about for years, then kind of let go, and it got brought up to me again in a post, and it kind of sparked my interest. Why are they still playing this game on Sunday and not Saturday, man? I want to eat, I want to party, and then I want to recover on Sunday. Are we ever going to see a shift to where we can actually have this game on the day that we all deserve?
Well, you know, actually, the NFL has been considering this for years.
Yes!
They want to extend the season, so if you notice, the combine is later, the draft is later. So things are getting later and later. So they're looking at extending it more. I don't know if they'll ever extend it to where you actually get a holiday or they actually move up the day to Saturday. You know, they really want to maximize every night in a hotel room and every tourist that can come to the site and consume and spend money. So, you know, if you cut it off at Saturday, you blow off on a Sunday. You know, I mean, maybe players and teams and fans would stay over and celebrate on Sunday. You know, their team wins on Saturday night. But chances are people might fly back. So I don't know if that'll ever happen, but I do know, you know, they're trying to look at just extending the calendar to make sure that everybody has the NFL in their conscience for 365.
Yeah, and that's basically the conclusion we got to, was that it must be a host city deal. It must be because of the host city, because if it were for the fans, it would probably be done already. But is exactly what you said. That one day has got to be such a moneymaker for that host city.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we've been here all week. We actually got here last week, Sunday.
Okay.
And this Sunday. So what's happening, though, is we're leaving today, Friday, but there's a mass amount of people coming in now.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody that's been here all week working it, they're getting out of town, but the people that are actually coming for the Super Bowl are coming right now. So if you literally had the Super Bowl tomorrow, then, I mean, people would kind of not really enjoy the city that I think the host city would like to see. So, you know, having it on Sunday right now has been working, and we'll see what happens, though.
All right, here with Mike Pritchard, member of the 1990 Colorado National Championship, Rancho's Finest. You can find him on Twitter at MI Pritchard. Mike, let me ask you this. Obviously, like you said, you've been down in Atlanta for since Sunday. You've been doing a lot. I saw you had Terrell Davis on your show today. What's been the coolest moment of this week for you, and what's been your big takeaway?
Well, the coolest moment, as I got an Apache helicopter flying over me during security, I'm sure. What's been the coolest moment was just seeing guys I played against and guys I played with. I mean, there's Hall of Famers, old teammates, old coaches. I saw Mike Holmgren for the first time.
Nice.
I had a conversation with Mike Holmgren and Coach Mariucci. So, I mean, it's like you see all these who's who of NFL football or coaching, Super Bowl winning coaches. I had a conversation with Tony Dungy, and, you know, we had a number of guests. You mentioned Terrell Davis. I mean, Tony Buscelli, it just goes on and on and on, and that's what this is. It's a convention. You know, you really get to catch up with old friends and foes, and you get to see everybody celebrate this big event, this mega event, which is Super Bowl.
So as you talk to all these people, what's the vibe around Super Bowl week? Do you get an idea of, like, what the biggest story was? Or maybe where do you see people leaning for this Super Bowl? I imagine it's pretty Patriots heavy, but I'm not the expert. You and all those great former players and analysts and coaches are.
Well, it's like you can't discount the Patriots. Some way, somehow, they always find a way to either be in this game or win this game. I mean, think about what's on the line for the Patriots. They could actually go down as the team that's lost the most Super Bowls or the team that's won the most Super Bowls. I mean, that's kind of clear. Isn't that crazy to think about?
It's insane. It doesn't even compute.
It doesn't, but because they've been to so many, that's why they have that opportunity, which is ridiculous. Yeah. But just a dynasty that we'll never see again, I don't think. I mean, it really is remarkable. But, you know, there's some Rams fans starting to get here, and, you know, Aaron Donald keeps popping up, and Tlaib, and then certainly Marcus Peters, all these names, Wade Phillips, they keep popping up as if they're going to have some answers for Tom Brady, but I think the consensus is that the Patriots are going to win another one down here in Atlanta.
Yeah, we were talking about crazy kind of numbers and looking at records. Here's one for you. This was on January 27th. On January 27th, that marked the 19 years since the Patriots hired Bill Belichick, okay? 19 right. years. Since that time, Mike, the NFL has employed 184 head coaches combined. I mean, that is nuts.
Well, that is nuts. You know what's crazy, too, is the Patriots and their dominance. And we're just trying to compare dynasties and compare where the Patriots are and where they're ranked. If you're a fan of any other team within the Patriots division, so let's consider the AFC East.
Right.
And you have the Buffalo Bills. You have not sniffed the Super Bowl since 93. If you're the Miami Dolphins, you haven't even tasted the Super Bowl since 84. And then if you're the Jets, you haven't even seen a Super Bowl until, since 1968. That's just...
Wow.
Crazy to think about, too, but here you have, if you were born in 2000 or if you were born in 96 or something like that, I mean, all you've seen are the Patriots going and winning Super Bowls. I mean, it's just crazy when you put it in context what the Patriots have accomplished.
Yeah, I thanked all of our listeners under the age of 24 that were still listening this week, because I can't say if I was 24, Mike, that I would be an NFL fan for that exact reason.
Right. I know. It 3 years in a row. I know Buffalo went 4 years in a row, but, they lost all of those.
Right.
At least the Patriots. I mean, it's crazy. The Patriots, 3 years in a row, they came back and won one. They lost one last year. See what happens this year.
Yeah, we will see. We'll see what happens this year. But let's look ahead to not even next year, but a little bit further. Tom Brady's out here, Mike, saying that he wants to play until 45. I know that's a big narrative around Super Bowl week. I haven't got to speak to you about this. What's your read on this? Can Tom Brady play until he's 45?
I think he can. To be honest, I'm not gonna discount anything about that guy. I'm not going to disbelieve or think that he can't do it. He just keeps proving people wrong. Maybe that's why he's doing it. So he can prove people wrong again at 45 that he's able to play at a high level in the National Football League. I mean, maybe that's why he's doing it. So all the naysayers will come out. He uses negativity, or he uses criticism, or he uses anybody that doubts him as fuel. And look what he's accomplished, man. He's the greatest of all time.
Well, that was going to be my question. You played in a league with Joe Montana. You played with some of the greatest players to ever live. Is Tom Brady the greatest of all time? And your answer was unequivocally right there, yes. So what makes him the greatest?
What's that?
I said, what makes him the greatest? Maybe outside the obvious, the Super Bowl titles. Is it just the age? Like, when you write the book on Tom Brady, when you talk about Tom Brady 20 years from now, what's going to be your lead?
Well, that he was ultimate competitor. A guy that just turned adversity into fuel, negativity into fuel. If you're doubted, if people don't think you can do something, you just prove them wrong. And then on top of that, to be able to compete, to be able to sacrifice and fine-tune his body and do what he needs to do to compete at the highest level. And that's what being the greatest is all about. Proving people wrong, establishing that. When you think about greatest of anything, people, they prove people wrong on their journey. And Tom Brady has constantly done that. But then at the same time, staying completely healthy for the most part of his career and lasting this long. And it's not about numbers. It's not even about the number of Super Bowls. It's just the way that he plays the game and the way that he's been so successful time and time again.
All right, so let's pivot a little bit from Brady, who's obviously getting an advanced age, to a guy who's not there obviously yet, but there's a lot of talk around him. People are wondering what he's going to do next, and that's Rob Gronkowski. He had the quote from Media Day where he said, abusing your body isn't what the brain wants. It certainly feels like Gronk, Mike, is ramping up sort of that rhetoric, and he's getting ready for the end of his career. I don't know when it's going to come. I made the case yesterday that he's going to roll with Brady until Brady's done. Is there a chance Gronk steps away before Brady does?
Yeah, I think so. That's an entirely different position.
Yeah.
And Gronk has sacrificed. I mean, think about the knee injuries. He still wears the elbow brace. But the back, I think his back is starting to go. And that's really what's on his conscience. You know, when you're a player and you play this long in the league and you've done the things that Gronkowski has done, but yet your back is about to go, you know, you're thinking of quality of life now, too. And Gronkowski, he's going to have tremendous opportunities after football is over. So, that's on his conscience, and rightly so. It should be. I mean, entirely different position than a quarterback.
All right. So, Mike, I don't know what your plans are for the game. Do you bet at all? Do you do any, like, prop bets or anything like that?
No, man, I'm not good at it, so stay away from it.
Can't you just, like, throw a dart at a dartboard and see what, like, pops up?
Yeah, I might do that. That might help.
Well, okay, I'll ask you to help me. If you had to guess who was going to score the first touchdown of James White, Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, or Sonny Michel, which one are you going to go with?
Oh.
I'm putting all my money on this too, Mike. So whatever you say, it's my mortgage, man. My future is in your hands, Mike Pritchard.
So no pressure. Okay. I would go Sonny Michel.
Okay.
I would go Sonny Michel.
Well, it's a smart bet. He is at the top of that list. It's 6-1. So
look at that,
Pritch, man. All right, so prop bet aside, let's just go clear up. Who do you think is going to win on Sunday? You got the Rams or the Patriots?
I never thought that the Patriots would get back to the Super Bowl. I thought there was no more Belichick-type players, and I thought Tom Brady at 41 the savior, you know, if you will, but he has been. And I'm not going to go against him. I mean, I'm wrong to this point. And if I go against him, then I'm just going to be wrong again. So I'm going to go with the Patriots and go 28-21.
Yeah, I love it. And you got the same attitude. I gun to the head. Like, I'm definitely taking Tom Brady because, I mean, how can you not? So, that analysis. Mike, man, it was awesome to have you on. It's the second week you were on earlier, one of my favorite people. I'm really happy you were able to make some time, man. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Anytime. Just anytime you give me a call, man, I'll hop on with you.
Awesome. That's Mike Pritchard. You can follow him on Twitter at M.I. Pritchard. Enjoy the game, man, and thanks again. All right. We're going to get out of here. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to pay some bills. When we come back on the other end, we are going to join by the Athletic Bay Area's own Vic Tafer. He follows the Oakland Raiders throughout the season, but over the last couple days, he had a pretty cool couple articles on prop bets. So we're going to get his thoughts on some of the props that he's looking over and some of maybe the props myself and Mark are looking over. Coming up here next on the Mac Attack.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right, back here on the Mac Attack. Got to send our big thank you out to Mike Pritchard, Rancho High Zone, also a University of Colorado 1990 national champion and 8-year NFL vet as well. One of the nicest guys, as we were actually talking about, Mark, in all of media. Hope he has a safe fight back. If you missed any of that conversation with Mike, you can find it on lvsportsnetwork.com. After the show, we'll have it up podcasted for you, as we do with every single show. Hopefully being joined in by Vic Tafer of The Athletic coming up here in a couple short minutes. Got a lot of great prop bets that we're going to get over. He had a great prop bet article on The Athletic that we're going to talk to him about. Speaking of some crazy numbers, we're talking numbers, prop bets, and all that. I got one for you here, listeners. So Tom Brady, okay, has played the LA Rams six different times. In those six games, they were held at six different stadiums. 2001 Foxborough, the Super Bowl, 36 at the Superdome, regular season in 04 at Edward Jones Dome, 2012 at Wembley Stadium, 2016 at Gillette Stadium, and then Sunday at the Mercedes-Benz Dome. How crazy is that? Six games against the Rams, six different stadiums. That's wild.
That tells you the greatness of...
He's been in some games.
Of Tom Brady's been in some big games because they're not just playing at Foxborough and they're not just playing at the Rams home stadium.
Right. He's played all over the world and he's played in Super Bowls. All right. Speaking of North American flavor, maybe not all over the world, but certainly not Las Vegas, at least not yet. Joining the show right now, Vic Tafer of The Athletic up in the Bay Area. He covers the Raiders and also getting into a little prop betting, it looks like. Vic, how you doing?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
Doing very, very well. Thanks for giving us a couple minutes.
No problem.
So, are you excited for this? Do you have some prop bets you're actually going to be throwing down?
Not yet. I probably will tomorrow. I'll probably get my hands dirty. But, yeah, I like the Rams. Not really crazy about going against Tom Brady, but I also like some Todd Gurley prop bets. And what else? The no field goal over 33 yards bet. That's always a winner. So, stuff like that.
Okay. All right. What about, like, some of the goofier offshore stuff? Like, is Gladys Knight going to use a mic stand?
I heard that. I always go for the length of the anthem, like over 147. I always like, I'm a big over anthem player, but I don't know about the mic stand. I'm not sure about that.
All right, let me ask you this. I'm gonna get your read on me and what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Tom Brady goes off in the Super Bowl, like a mark, like a square. I'm just thinking I'm gonna go over on every Tom Brady prop: completions, yards, touchdowns, everything. Am I a moron?
Probably not, but I think the only real chance, I mean, they have a lot of chances, but the big chance the Rams have is that Aaron Donald's going to cause some havoc to interior pass rush.
Yeah.
If that comes true, then you might be in trouble. So the one way the Rams can really win this game goes against all your bets. But otherwise, you're in good shape.
Did you see that picture that Donald shared on Instagram?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looked good.
Yeah. He looked good. I tweeted, I was like, I guess that's how you get 20 and a half sacks. All right. Makes perfect sense. All right. So let me ask you this before we get into the game itself. Let's talk a little bit about the Raiders, man. Obviously, an interesting season. They're going to be in Vegas in 1 year. We don't know where they're going to be next year. Where do you think they're going to be?
I like how you called it an interesting season. It was an awful season, but yeah, interesting.
I was being nice.
I think next year they'll be at either Levi's or at AT&T Park in San Francisco. But probably Levi's is my bet right now.
Okay. How do you think that's going to go over with Oakland?
The city or the fans?
Both. More so the fans.
The city. So, I mean, they got their handcuffed. They're trying to sue. I'm not sure what's going to get out of the lawsuit. But right. I think they're kind of saying good riddance. But I felt bad for the fans. The fans who even came out last year in the rain and some awful home games. They got to drive now to watch their home team won last year. So it's a long drive. Not a fun drive. But Raider fans are tough. They've hung in there this long. I'm sure they can hang in one more year before this team leaves.
Yeah, for sure. I saw that note about how, like, team representatives were calling season ticket holders essentially saying, hey, we don't know exactly where we're going to play. And I saw that, and it just broke my heart for a lot of the things, you know, that you kind of referenced. It's such a great fan base to be done that way. It's really unfortunate.
Yeah, it's sad. It'd be a bad phone call like that, man. If you're waiting for a call from the Raiders, you get one. Like, oh, yeah, we have no idea. We just call and say hi, but we have no idea yet. Like, oh, thanks for calling. I appreciate that.
Right. We're joined by Vic Tafer of The Athletic up in the Bay Area. You can find him on Twitter at Vic Tafer. One more thing on the Raiders. Bill Romanowski, obviously Raiders legend, had come out earlier this week, and he said he wasn't sure if Carr is the guy to get the Raiders to the Super Bowl. Obviously, Derek Carr has been a big topic of conversation around John Gruden. First of all, are you on line with what Romanowski said? And depending on that answer, what do you think the future is for Derek Carr in Oakland?
Well, first of all, I question Romanowski being a Raiders legend. But anyway, I think that's the easy way to go right now, saying Derek Carr and Gruden aren't going to work out. But I think Derek showed progress last year. It was a rough year. I mean, had some online injuries. He got beat up pretty good. His receivers towards the last half of the year were terrible. So I think it's hard to judge Derek on last year. I know not everyone's piling on the Stephen A. Smith thing, and he wants to fight him in the UFC. Derek's a little too sensitive. But I think the jury's still out. I think if they had a chance to trade him for a lot of picks, they probably would. I don't think that's going to happen, so I think they'll get one more year with Gruden and see if they can make this work.
You bring up Stephen A. Smith challenging him to that fight. Dude, I was so shocked that Stephen A. was the betting favorite when that line was released offshore. What was that about?
Yeah, people are nuts. I mean, That'd be a fun fight to watch. I definitely would go to the window and bet on Derek Carr on that one. But people love Stephen A. Smith. He gets them excited. He gets them emotional. So I guess he's a popular pick just based on emotions.
Right. So we can talk a little bit about prop bets, but I actually want to look, as we talk about betting, I want to look a little bit to the future and look to next season. I want to get your read. There's the 100-to-1s. There's the Redskins, Lions, Jets, Bills, Bengals, and then the Raiders coming in at 100-to-1. Do you think that's accurate? I mean, when you hear that list of teams, does anyone in that list think that maybe could surprise some people next season?
Not really. I think it's tough. I mean, you see these teams. It took a while to build these teams up. I just think the Colts. You hit the home run. Hit the two great draft picks. It's good free agent signings.
Yeah.
And they weren't close to winning Super Bowl. So I think it's really hard to turn it all around in 1 year.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Let's move a little bit down on that list to the 20-to-1s. There's four choices: Colts, Ravens, Cowboys, and Eagles. And that's all really interesting. And Vic, I know the Colts didn't get where they wanted to go this season, but that doesn't mean they can't next year. And at 20-to-1, that's kind of juicy to me. What do you think about those teams? Colts, Ravens, Cowboys, and Eagles at 20-to-1.
Yeah, I think the Colts are interesting. I think the Eagles are also could definitely bounce back from this year. They have all those players back, and I think Carson Wentz will have a chance to put a stamp down on things. So I think both those teams are pretty good flyers at 20-to-1, Colts and the Eagles.
Yeah, no, I'm with you here with Vic Tafer from The Athletic up in the Bay Area. Vic, let's talk about the game a little bit. We just had Mike Pritchard on, former 1990 national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes. Let me ask you this. Does Tom Brady make it to 45? And is Rob Gronkowski going to be along his side? Because one of the things that I've thought is Gronkowski is gone. When Brady is gone, it kind of feels like he's rolling with him. But Mike said Gronkowski might be done before that. So how long does Brady go, and is he going to have Gronkowski to piggyback off him?
Yeah, I think Brady's a robot. So I think 45 is no problem. As far as Gronk, I think this is his last year. I think he's definitely banged up. He's got some things in line. I mean, he could be WWE from tomorrow. So I think he's going to have some opportunities where he doesn't have to kill himself anymore on the football field.
Yeah, that is interesting. You got to think, you bring up WWE. I'm actually a bit of a WWE fan. I actually think that transition for him would be pretty seamless, and he would make a good amount of money. What's your read on that?
Yeah, I think he'd be the biggest star. I mean, I'm not sure who the biggest star now is on the men's side. A couple of guys who are kind of in the mix, but I think his personality, he's got the size, the physique, athleticism. I think he'd be a natural. I think people would eat him up.
No, I agree. You know, one thing this season, I'm going to switch over to the Rams a little bit. I was actually talking with my co-host Mark during one of the breaks. Man, this whole year for me with Sean McVay has been – it's been tiresome in the sense that he hasn't won anything yet. I understand the coaching tree. I understand why everyone loves the schemes. But Vic, I'm arguably more sick of hearing about Sean McVay in one season than I am with Brady and Belichick for 18. I don't know if I have like a mental illness. I don't know what my deal is, but that's kind of where I'm at. This McVay love, despite having done nothing yet, is a little overwhelming. Where are you at on that?
I can see that, especially when they talk about his memory. Like, oh, you can tell you the whole roster of the Bears 2 years ago. Like, or he knows the play he ran for, a 20-yard game last year. I just think that people kind of go nuts. And you see the NFL, they started trying to clone the guy. The guy is so popular, not only with the media, but also with other NFL owners. So I thought the guys they hired to kind of be like him were definitely stretches. So I think those teams will pay a price for that, I think, in the future. But I like McVay. I mean, he's definitely a innovative play caller. He definitely turned around Jared Goff. He should win. He should win this weekend unless Tom Brady does it again.
Are you leaning Rams? Is that going to be your pick for Sunday?
Yeah, I'm picking the Rams. I mean, I think they're the better team. I think, but obviously the quarterback is that's the problem. I mean, in any other sport, I think if you had the best player, it wouldn't matter that much. But football is a quarterback league. Tom Brady's so good.
Yeah.
He makes all the guys better around him. Still makes all the throws. I just think he's a like that Chiefs game, that was just like a methodical, just incredible the way he did that game at the end. So I think Brady's very scary. Otherwise, I love the Rams a lot more.
All right, well, let me ask you this. If the scary guy does get it done, Tom Brady, where are you going to put him, not just in the pantheon of great NFL players, all right, but great athletes in general? Where is Tom Brady going to rank in your mind?
It's a good question. I think he's, in my mind, he's already the best quarterback ever. I know it's hard to compare eras, but he gets my vote for best quarterback and probably – best NFL player right behind that. But in terms of athlete, I always think of Michael Jordan. I think Michael Jordan, I think, has proven to be that guy. So I would never put Brady over Jordan.
Well, as a young man who grew up in South Bend in the 90s and got to see Jordan play many times, I'm not going to argue with you, Vic. Vic, man, I want to thank you for giving us a couple minutes. It was a pleasure. Enjoy your weekend. I don't know what you got planned. We didn't have enough time to get to that, but I'm sure you'll be having a good time.
Yeah, I'll be on the couch. We'll look at my bet sheet, so it'll be all good.
There you go. Vic Tafer of The Athletic. You can catch him on Twitter at Vic Tafer. Much appreciated to him. A great guy. And, you know, Mark, maybe we'll be seeing him in Vegas. I don't know what his plans are going to be, obviously, when the Raiders move from the Bay Area, but maybe Vic will be down in Southern Nevada.
You never know. You never know. It's, yeah, we're a year away, so we will, we'll see what's up.
Yeah, so what you got planned for Sunday?
I think I'm feeling like Vic.
You feel like Vic?
I'm feeling like Vic. Gonna be sitting on my butt watching it at home.
You got any crazy Super Bowl stories from years past?
Well, when the Titans lost,
mm-hmm. the one yard line.
Yeah, the 1 yard line.
Oh, gross.
Was watching that at a buddy's house. We were 18. I think it was my senior year of high school. So yeah. We had our beer stacked outside the window, you know, so we wouldn't get caught at my buddy's parents' house. But, yeah, it is what it is, man. You win some, you lose some.
How long, because I'm still reeling from the double doink as a Bears fan, how long, and I know it wasn't the Super Bowl. It took me about 3 years to get over Peyton Manning and the Devin Hussey has to run back.
Yeah.
Then the 06 Super Bowl. How long did your Super Bowl loss take you?
I'm still not over that. I mean, because just to be so close.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a Super Bowl that you
and McNair was
could
such
have
a
won.
G.
Oh, he was. Oh, he's the original OG.
God, I love that guy.
Yes.
I would have loved to have seen him get one. But that was a great Super Bowl. You know what? I always look back to that Super Bowl. Because in the 90s, right, we came up from the Dallas Cowboys, and then Steve Young absolutely destroyed Natron Means and that Chargers team, and then it was kind of, you know, Green Bay. Okay, there weren't a lot of great games. I feel like that Titans game kicked off the next 20 years of just straight insanity in the NFL, where it was like every single year we get a Super Bowl. I don't care if it's Pittsburgh, Arizona. I don't care if it's every single game New England's in. I don't think they've been in a boring one.
But they were good
games. Oh, yes, they were. What was the worst game New England played in? The Philly game?
The worst?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nuts.
Well, I mean.
I think it was like a 10-point game.
Well, I mean, I think the worst they played was against the undefeated season when they lost to the Giants.
No. They lost games. You could say they were terrible or didn't, you know, obviously lost. But I'm saying excitement-wise.
Oh, okay.
They haven't been in a boring Super Bowl except that Eagles one, which kind of wasn't not, I mean, wasn't boring.
Yeah.
They've been in nail-biters, essentially, which is also crazy because I think you could make the argument that they could, you know, if things go a little different, they don't win any.
Yeah.
But obviously Tom Brady's not letting that happen.
No, he is not.
So where are you leaning on Sunday?
I want the Rams.
Yeah.
If I had to put my money on it, it's hard to go against Tom Brady.
So you're like 94% of the rest of America.
Yeah.
You're with me.
Yeah.
That's where
I want the Rams to win. But I just have a feeling Brady pulls some magic out of his ass.
All right. There you go. Brady pulled magic out of his ass. Story of his life. Yeah. We will be back on Monday. I want to give a big thank you to our guests, Vic Tafer of The Athletic and 1990 national champ, Mike Pritchard, Rancho High's own finest. Find him on Twitter at MI Pritchard. We will be back on Monday. I am Ryan McKinnell. That is Mark Seidel. Whatever you're going to be doing this weekend, please be safe. Don't be doing anything stupid. We love you. If you want to call me, hit the DMs. I might give you a ride. I might not, but I'll certainly refer you to someone who can. All right. Enjoy the game. Enjoy Super Bowl 53. We'll be back on Monday. This is the Mac Attack. We out.